This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. It's a cutting-edge telescope buried a mile under the ice at the South Pole. But in many ways, it's hardly a telescope at all. The project, known as the IceCube Neutrino Laboratory, or observatory rather, doesn't even point up at the sky. It points down into the Earth. This paradoxical setup is just one of the many bizarre aspects of a new field of astronomy looking at the universe by tracking the elusive ghost particle known as the neutrino. Mark Bowen is a writer living in the Northeast Kingdom. A self-described recovering physicist, he literally wrote the book on the emerging field of neutrino astronomy. It's called The Telescope in the Ice. The book is full of stories about the people who worked for decades to build this telescope. But when I spoke with him last week, we instead focused on the peculiar traits of the mysterious neutrino.
A neutrino is an elementary particle. That means it doesn't have any other constituents. It's not made up of other particles smaller than it is, or however you'd like to think of it. And what's interesting about it is that it was one of the first to be discovered, or postulated anyway, back in 1930. Only the proton and the electron and the particle of light, the photon, were known at the time. It is still beguiling physicists. Almost 100 years later, they still don't understand how it works. It's one of the most peculiar particles known.
And that's because it doesn't really interact with matter, so it's difficult to see and to study?
You're right. It doesn't interact with matter, and that's part of the reason that it yields its secrets very slowly. But also, particle physics is an extremely successful field. And since the 1970s or so, when the so-called standard theoretical model for particle physics was put into place, basically the drama in particle physics has been to show that it was correct. And when the Higgs boson was famously discovered in 2012, that was essentially the final tying of the ribbon into a bow for that whole theory. It just everything about it was correct. And that's great, but physicists don't really like it when they understand everything.
Right.
They don't want that to be kind of the theory of everything, which it wasn't really anyway, but it was kind of the theory of all of particle physics. But what's cool is that the neutrino has actually, so far, it's the only particle or the only kind of physics anywhere that has yielded something that contradicts the standard model. So that's really cool. And since there are questions waiting to be answered there, neutrino physics is a very hot field now. There are a lot of experiments like IceCube that are trying to delve into its secrets to see if they can open up a new kind of world of new physics.
Well, an IceCube was a project that was started back in the 80s, and it took a long time to finish, just as it has taken you a long time to research this book, following how it's all gone through. But can you describe IceCube? This, I mean, it's not a telescope as many of us probably think of telescopes.
Correct. I don't think it has any lenses or any mirrors or anything like that. One of the most interesting things about IceCube, let's just say that the South Pole is on the bottom of the Earth. So that's where IceCube is, on the bottom of the Earth. Since neutrinos interact so feebly with all forms of matter, what they're actually looking for is neutrinos that come in from the northern hemisphere. They're looking through the planet at the northern hemisphere. Because only a neutrino could have made it all the way through the planet to reach that block of ice on the bottom of the world.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, they're looking at the northern sky with this telescope through the planet. The actual detector for the telescope is a cubic kilometer of ice more than a mile beneath the surface at the South Pole. And what they've done is dropped these strings, like strings of pearls, down into that ice volume. And each of the pearls is a light detector. There are 5,000 of them just in this kind of grid filling up a cubic kilometer of deep ice. The ice turns out to be as clear as diamond. It's perhaps the clearest natural substance known. And what happens is a neutrino, which can't be seen and doesn't interact very much with anything, every once in a blue moon interacts with something, the ice or the bedrock below the ice or something around it, and produces a particle that does produce light that's going in the same direction as the neutrino. So since you can see where the neutrino is coming from using that secondary particle, this whole big, huge block of ice becomes a telescope.
So essentially, the telescope, IceCube, is not seeing neutrinos. It's seeing these secondary particles. And because you can see those, you can then determine where the neutrino was going and that there was a neutrino there.
Correct.
You haven't seen this particular telescope, But you visited Antarctica during the construction and you saw some of the final sensors of its predecessor being put into place?
Yeah, I think I might have even seen the so-called digital optical modules that they use now. I was down there the year that they put the first test string of those in there. But anyway, that doesn't really matter. Yeah, I was there for what was called AMANDA, which was the precursor, the kind of feasibility study for Ice Cube, the Antarctic Muon and Neutrino Detector Array. The muon is one of those secondary particles that gets detected, that the neutrino produces.
Describe what it actually looks like, these sensors, and then what it felt like for you to actually be there in Antarctica, of all places, and seeing this.
Well, they're about the size of a basketball. They're encased in these glass pressure spheres because they have to withstand, you know, hundreds or thousands of times atmospheric pressure, because they're way down in the ice. And then they have all this kind of fancy-looking electronics inside of them, the most important component being something called a photomultiplier tube, which can take, when an individual particle of light hits its surface, it produces an electrical pulse. So that's kind of the basic detector for the whole instrument. And so, yeah, being in Antarctica is completely far out, you know, totally mind-boggling. The most amazing thing about it, really, in my memory, and even while I was there, was just the visuals of being there. It's basically like being in the middle of an ocean. It's flat as everywhere around you, as far as you can see. There's nothing but white ice and blue sky, as long as the sky is blue. It is cold, really cold. I mean, it was minus 40 when I got there. But the surprising thing is it doesn't feel that cold somehow.
It's a dry cold.
You get all this government-issue warm clothing, and you can always go into a building because you're at the U.S. Antarctic South Pole Station. It's called Amundsen-Scott South Pole Station. So it's both comfortable and very uncomfortable. But what happens is, you know, when you're there in the summertime, which is our winter, which is the only time you can really work there, the sun is up 24 hours a day. So it's this incredibly energizing environment. The sun's just pouring into your eyes. People have a hard time sleeping. You just kind of buzz on the sunlight. You know, it's just kind of an amazing place. Plus, there's this subculture of people who have been working and living there since 1957 or 58. And it's this really strange culture. And science, of course, is always an international endeavor. I mean, science doesn't care what nationality you are. Science is about, you know, seeking the truth. In fact, part of the reason Ice Cube was a desirable project to have at the South Pole was that it's so international. In fact, right now, there's something like 300 scientists working on Ice Cube, and they come from 40 different countries. And people from all over the world go down to Pole, as they call it, to work on the project.
And what are the biggest accomplishments, scientific accomplishments or advancements that have come out of Ice Cube?
Well, the biggest is that in 2013, they detected the first neutrinos that were unequivocally coming from outer space. I mean, I should qualify that a bit. The sun emits neutrinos. Those were detected. And there was a supernova way back in 1987 that produced about something like 13 neutrinos that also got detected. But this is the first kind of operating neutrino telescope. So that was their first big discovery. They also do a lot of interesting experiments in all kinds of different areas of physics. When I talk with Francis Halsen, who's the principal investigator, a former theorist, now he's stooped to the level of being an experimentalist. He's at the University of Wisconsin, which was the lead institution in the project. We often talk about how Ice Cube is like a big penny arcade. You know, you have these kids, grad students, even undergrads and postdocs, coming through. You know, they might work on the project for 4 years. They might work on it for longer than that. So there's this incredible bubbling up of this incredible intelligence and creativity. People come up with these incredible ideas of new things to study, new ways to use the instrument.
Mark, what made you so interested in this that you spent nearly two decades doing the research and writing the book and following this?
Well, you know, I'm a physicist. I wasn't in this field. It is a very active field of research right now. All kinds of big new things are happening. When the gravitational waves detected the merger of two neutron stars back in the fall, that was the birth of what is called multi-messenger astronomy, where now we can look at an object, some crazy creature off in outer space that gives off light, and we can now look at it with gravitational waves as well, And it turns out you can look at them with neutrinos. So we now have three tools. We have the gravitational wave, we have neutrinos, and we have optics, or light, to now look at extraordinary phenomena out in the cosmos. And it's just the beginning of this new era. Very, very exciting time.
Well, it's fascinating to hear you talk about it, too. And, Mark, I really appreciate you taking the time to talk with us and help us understand it. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Jane. Very nice to meet you.
That was physicist and writer Mark Bowen. His book is called The Telescope in the Ice, Inventing a New Astronomy at the South Pole.